I asked Jay Richards, who is a research fellow and director of Acton Media in the Acton Institute in Grand Rapids, Michigan. He has a PhD with honors in philosophy and theology from Princeton, where he was formerly a teaching fellow. And I wanted to ask Jay about this whole issue of global warming, which is in the news. And it seems evangelicals are divided on this issue. They don't know what to think. And if you read many media accounts, this is settled science. This is no longer a debate that we should be having. In fact, a San Diego Union Tribune columnist, Carol Goodhue, actually said as much. She said, sometimes the facts are so overwhelming on one side that it's unfair and inaccurate to give equal weight to both sides. And this is one of those times. And Heidi Cullen of the Weather Channel said TV newscasters who displayed disbelief in human-caused warming should have their professional certification yanked. Jay Richards is joining me to answer that question. Jay, is this settled science?
Hank, the problem is there's separate questions. The question whether the globe is warming slightly right now, I think there's rock-solid evidence that we're in a slight warming trend. The question is whether we're causing it or we're the primary causes of the warming. And that's a question that we simply don't have the evidence to answer. And frankly, I think there's at least as much evidence that variations in the output of the sun's energy is the cause of that rather than human release of CO2 in the atmosphere.
There certainly was a fear not all that long ago in human history that we were actually heading for global cooling. Now we're afraid of global warming. Is this cyclical?
What's funny is that since the media has been reporting this for about the last 150 years, it's gone through four cycles, a fear of cooling, and then a fear of warming, and then in the 1970s, a fear of cooling, and then since the late 1970s, a fear of warming again. And, you know, we have really good records going back thousands of years in terms of the global climate. There was a time just 1,000 years ago called the medieval warming period when the globe was much warmer than it is now. It's why Greenland is called Greenland, because it was much warmer then than it is now. We've been in a general warming trend since about 1850, but even from 1940 to about 1975, the globe actually cooled. So it's certainly cyclical. We know the output of the sun's energy varies over time. Its magnetic activity varies over time. There's no reason to think that the global temperature at this moment is somehow the optimum for human flourishing, and that if it changes slightly up or down, that all civilization is going to collapse.
Is there any sense in which we can legitimately say that the Earth is a very resilient planet in the universe and has withstood innumerable catastrophes? It is resilient by the very manner in which it's designed.
Absolutely. I mean, what's funny is that we tend to think of these issues in isolation. We say, well, CO2, carbon dioxide, it's a greenhouse gas. You put it in the atmosphere, things should warm up. The problem is the Earth has lots of what are called feedback mechanisms, so that you get that one thing that happens and then something else happens to balance it out. For instance, if you increase the carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, it doesn't just sit there. Carbon dioxide is plant food. And so what happens is that you increase plant growth in the area where you've increased CO2, and then the CO2 is absorbed. It's sequestered by the plant. So the planet is amazingly resilient in this way to be able to take the variations from the sun, the various things that happen on the surface of the planet, like, you know, volcanic activity, and to compensate for it. Some have even compared the Earth system to a metabolism, like an organism, which adjusts depending on the particular circumstances that are happening at the time.
At the risk of being redundant here, Al Gore is on Capitol Hill talking about carbon dioxide levels, and he says that they've never been as high as they are right now in 600,000 years. Do empirical facts bear that out?
This is one of the things that Senator Gore says that simply aren't true. We've got ice core records that show vast variations in the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere. There's times in the past in which there was 10 times as much CO2 in the atmosphere as there is now. And what's funny is that Gore has spent a lot of time saying that there's a correlation in these ice core records between temperature and CO2. But what's funny is that the correlation is opposite what he would have you believe. People would assume that you get CO2 and then the temperature increases in the atmosphere. But what we have in the ice cores is that there's a temperature increase, and then a few hundred years later, you get an increase in CO2 after the fact, which makes sense because when the ocean water is warm, they release CO2, and when they cool, they tend to absorb CO2. So if anything, it looks like you get warming, and then 500 or 800 years later, you get an increase in CO2, which is opposite of what Al Gore has been testifying to.
Weigh in for just a moment on the debate amongst evangelicals. You have the National Association of Evangelicals making statements. You have other evangelicals contradicting those statements. Where should we be as evangelicals in this debate, considering what you have just communicated?
Well, I would say that this question is a prudential judgment. That is, we have to decide what the scientific evidence is. I don't think among evangelicals there's a debate about whether we should be stewards of our environment. The Bible says that we've been created. God put man and woman in the Garden of Eden and told them to till and to keep it. So it's a part of our stewardly dominion to have responsibility over the earth. That's not the question. But the question is whether the specific scientific evidence bears out the claim that there is human-induced catastrophic global warming. I don't think the evidence even strongly suggests that. In fact, I think there's a lot of evidence that contradicts it. What concerns me is when evangelicals say that there is a specific evangelical answer to that policy question. The policy question has to be decided on scientific grounds and not on theological grounds.
You deal with some of this in your book, The Privileged Planet.
Yeah, we do. In fact, in Chapter 2 of the book of The Privileged Planet, we actually give some evidence that if CO2 does, in fact, slightly warm the atmosphere, there's just as much evidence that we could be helping to stave off another ice age. If you look at the records of the recent past, it looks like we're due for another ice age. And what's interesting is that if CO2 does, in fact, warm the atmosphere, it's quite possible that it would actually be a good thing because it would prevent something like another ice age, which would be much worse than, a couple of increases, a couple of degrees of temperature in the atmosphere.
So you're saying the solar activity or the greenhouse gases or whatever it is, it may be a blessing in disguise because it's staving off an ice age.
That's right. I mean, no one hears about that, but of course, if it warms slightly, it's just as possible that could be on balance a good thing rather than a bad thing. You just don't hear a lot about that possibility.
I love The Privileged Planet, both the book and the DVD. Tell our listeners a little more about that. Whet their appetite so that they start burning up the phone lines and ordering this product.
Sure. Well, the book is a book that I co-authored with astronomer Guillermo Gonzalez, and we point out all the ways in which the Earth is remarkably fine-tuned, not only for the existence of complex life, but for scientific discovery. So we point out the many ways in which those things that make it possible for observers like ourselves to exist also set up the best conditions for observing. And this, we think, confirms the longstanding Christian idea that the natural world is a book that's meant to be read, it's meant to be discovered, and that it points beyond itself if it's read correctly. And we just think it's exciting that the evidence at the beginning of the 21st century confirms something that Christians have believed for thousands of years.
Someone pops in the DVD, what are they going to see?
Well, they're going to start out with a Saturn rocket taking off to send a couple of Voyager satellites to the outer solar system. But in the hour-long documentary, you get basically a tour of the Earth and the nearby solar system. You get a detailed tour in and out of the Milky Way galaxy, which is our galactic home. And then at the end, you actually get a quick tour out to the edge of the universe.
I suppose when you get done with the DVD, the thing that percolates in the soul is that the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they proclaim knowledge. There's no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their words go out to the ends of the earth.
Absolutely. And Paul, of course, in Romans said more or less the same thing. He said, from the foundation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen to the things that have been made. And it's exciting to see the things that have been made declaring his glory again here at the beginning of the 21st century.
We had you on a couple of times, a special that ran 2 days right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. And Jay, I'll tell you, people were exhilarated. We have had calls and letters streaming in with gratitude for this incredible product.
Well, that's gratifying to me. Certainly, we didn't realize how much people would resonate with the film. And one thing we really didn't imagine is how many young children actually enjoy the film.
Hey, Jay, thank you so much for your contributions and for spending a few moments with us.
Thank you, Hank.